Auburn and Vanderbilt series tied 21-21 all time with one tie. How did that happen? And did the Tigers change that tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central? Let's talk about it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. It's your host, Alex, found on the socials, better known as at Auburn Memes on Twitter and Instagram. Joining us today is writer for AuburnDaily.com, Andrew Stefaniak. Glad to have you back. I know the schedule, our routine had gotten a little out of whack because you've been traveling, but I missed you. I know the listeners out there missed you. I know you got some articles out there absolutely killing it. We'll talk about those in just a second. And all things surrounded with this Auburn-Vandy game, because I think a lot of people just kind of wrote this one off as a high percentage win SEC games. But per what we were talking about before we started recording, I think there's some different angles to this that might be a little bit interesting for the listeners out there, as we kind of tease to in the intro and the title of this episode.
This is going to be a football game. I hate when people overlook opponents. Now, is Vanderbilt a good football team? No, they are not a good football team. But teams got to show up. Auburn's got to show up. They haven't played well on the road. I know we're going to talk about the environment should feel a little bit like you're playing in Jordan-Hare, not away from home in essence, because of how many Auburn fans live in Nashville, so on and so forth. But this is a football game. A.J. Swan, it's being reported that Coach Freeze is being told that A.J. Swan, Vanderbilt quarterback, good player, truly good football player, can really sling the rock, has been practicing, hasn't played since September. Will he be out there? I lean toward no, but it's something to monitor, because I would say my confidence in winning this football game goes from like 98 to like 87 if he's out there, because he's a good player. So it's something to monitor. It's something to think about heading into this football game, where hopefully the Tigers extend the winning streak to two games.
Right. And there, I mean, the personnel side of it can be a factor for sure. I love how you said 90 to 87. So could be a slight deal. Now, ironically, the ESPN analytics matchup predictor has gone up about a percentage or 2 point for Vanderbilt from Auburn. We know the betting odds had gone from 13.5 to 12.5. Haven't seen what those are at today. We're recording, like, if you're listening to this episode immediately on Friday, we're recording this Friday mid-morning as well. So this is going to be a same day launch episode. So the content will be as fresh as it can get if you're listening quickly. So it seems to be that there's some things shifting. Maybe that news, maybe the analytics, just like you, would have the 2-3%. Maybe that was the it factor there. But as you said, can't overlook an opponent. And no, I mean, even if it is a Vandy team that is limping into this game with two wins for the season and no SEC wins. But before we get too much into what's happening with Auburn versus Vanderbilt tomorrow, all the cranes, all the construction, what hopefully will be in a massive Auburn fans that are in the Nashville and close surrounding areas, as well as them having their homecoming weekend. Let's take a little bit of time to rewind to the past of the series. Now, you said you didn't realize before we started recording that this series was tied up 21-21 with one tie, Auburn Vanderbilt, dating all the way back to 1893. Is that correct?
Leave that in the comments, y'all. I did not know that. Like, when you told me that, I was like, huh? If y'all didn't know that, let me know in the comments. It might make me feel a little bit better. And if you did know, just tell me I'm a moron, which is fine too. But I did not know that. I was genuinely shocked. But then you forget about, you know, the 20s and all that, and 40s. And Vandy, like Clark Lee said back in at SEC Media Days last year in Atlanta, if y'all remember correctly, Vandy will once again someday be one of the best programs in college football. I now get what he was saying, because in the 40s, hey, they were beating the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, so Vandy had some history. Before each household in America had a television set, Vanderbilt was a powerhouse. You just couldn't watch them, but they were. So strangely enough, and it's funny because it always seems like the stars would align in recent history to where Vanderbilt and Auburn would match up in the perfect storm of situations, where you would have a uncharacteristically good Vanderbilt team versus a historically bad Auburn team. And talking about 2012 and 2008, crazy how those stars align. So, and that is kind of what in modern football tipped that era, and just really due to the fact of conference realignment, Auburn and Vandy just never played each other. So what ended up happening is Vanderbilt kind of got to hide in this record just due to the low volume of games in modern football. So pretty much Auburn has, minus those 2 years, Auburn has won this game every time they've played since 1978. So probably for the time of a good bit of the listeners here have been alive, assuming you are not older than, I think, 45 or 46. This has been a one-sided series minus two very, very bad years. Now, if you go back to 1950 and look backwards, well, then it gets a little rough for Auburn. Auburn did win the first matchup, but rough time. Auburn had a rough time in the 40s, 30s, and then the 19-teens and late 1800s. So if you're an Auburn fan and remember Auburn football that far back, like you were alive, DM me. I want you on the show because you're going to have some great stories. But I want to zoom in a little bit here to these games at 2012 and 2008. Do you remember those games, Andrew?
Not. I remember 2016 well. I was young. I do not remember 2008 and 2012 well. I can talk more on 16 than I can those 2 years.
Well, let's get to 16 because that's relevant because that was the last time that these teams had faced off, which is crazy. I think it's 8 whole years between the last time you'd played a conference game. Excuse me. But I do remember both of those games. And in 2012. Let's get this in order. In 2008, that was when Vanderbilt had Bobby Johnson. And that Vanderbilt team went 7-6. So that was a good Vanderbilt team. And Auburn, crazy enough, in 08 at the time when they played in early October, Auburn was ranked 13. They played in Nashville. Vanderbilt would have been ranked 19 at the time. So it's crazy. Just that storyline, a top 20 matchup with Vanderbilt. Doesn't that sound kind of funny? So yeah, at least you had a ranked Vanderbilt team, because the week before they had just beaten Ole Miss. Oh, hold on. Sorry, guys. Andrew, can you hear me?
Can hear you now. You're good. You're back.
Okay, sorry. I got 3 phone calls at the same time. So my computer, my iPad, and my phone all going off. That was incredibly distracting. Sorry. Back to 08. That was a trip for the senses. Everything like was on silence. I don't think you heard it through the microphone, but my ear, wild. Love technical difficulties. It was like a spam call. It's probably just gonna something about trying to sell me a car extended warranty on the vehicle I don't even have. So that's very important. I'll have to call them back. But they did. So like I said, they beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is so lucky to get to play Vanderbilt every year from the West. I guess they don't have that luxury moving forward. But for quite some time, they did lucky them. And then they beat a ranked South Carolina earlier in the season. So this team is starting out. They're facing Auburn 4-0 and will eventually beat Auburn to be 5-0. Sadly, Vanderbilt was ranked number 13 that year, which, let's see, did they beat that in 2012? I don't know if they got higher. I don't know if they got higher ranked than that in 2012. I don't think they did. So that might have been the highest ranked Vanderbilt has been since, strangely enough. Yeah, I'll have to fact check that one. Didn't have that. But anyway, so Vanderbilt peaks at 13, loses to an unranked Mississippi State, 14-17, it'd be almost as bad as losing 3-2 to Mississippi State, but wouldn't know anything about that. Then they lose to Georgia, Duke, and Florida, and then just all things start to derail for what would have been the team of destiny for Vanderbilt. Unfortunately, when they were hot, Auburn did catch that stray. And as you can imagine, like I said, you may not have been old enough to remember this. I definitely was. That was a rough day for Auburn fans. And then the rest of the season of 08 to come, and then eventually leads to Tommy Tuberville's tenure being over at Auburn, which would eventually propel to a just flourishing political career for Coach Tommy Tuberville. And then we go to 2012. We know how bad 2012 was. Auburn plays them in the middle of the season. That Vanderbilt team, coached by James Franklin in the second season, we obviously know James Franklin's going to move on to do some pretty big things. That Vanderbilt team went 9-4. So they did very well. And I think they ended the year ranked. I think it says they were 20 in the coaches poll, 23 in the AP. I just don't think they had any good opponents that they beat that year. And let's clarify, Auburn was not a good opponent in 2012, even at that point in the season. So they had no ranked wins, but they only lost to Florida, Georgia, Northwestern, and South Carolina that year. They ended on a very strong note, which obviously propelled James Franklin to bigger and better things. When did he take the Penn State job? So he was there from, he coached at Vanderbilt one more year, then took the Penn State job. So obviously James Franklin to do that at Vanderbilt is quite the accomplishment. Yeah. So like I said, those were good Vanderbilt teams. Just want to clarify this. It matched up with very, very bad Auburn teams. So then you got two more. And after that 2012 game, Vandy was actually winning the series briefly until 2016. Andrew, I think you want to take it away with this year.
Yeah. Auburn wins the game. Yes. Wins this game 23-16. The GOAT of Auburn quarterback, Sean White, was taking snaps in this game. The scoring in this game, we had three Daniel Carlson field goals, and kick, including a 53-yarder from the GOAT. And then you have a touchdown from Darius Slayton. Sean White finds Darius Slayton in the third quarter for a 21-yard touchdown that actually gave Auburn the lead. And then you have a touchdown from Kerryon Johnson in this game. This was the game, though, that if all Auburn fans remember, and this is where I need to help me piece things together here, but I'll never forget Petway is gone on a run. He's gone. It's touchdown. And then he comes up a little bit, and hamstring. And he was injured, and I remember that distinctly. He was gone. It was going to be a touchdown. He pulled something at hamstring, something like that. Isn't able to score. And I think that too, if he scores there, I don't remember if they ended up scoring on that drive. I remember it being somewhat late in the game to where the storyline being, had he gotten in the end zone, it would have been, not a set. It'd have been a 14-point game instead of a 7-point game, or maybe they kicked the field goal beside the point. But that's what I remember from that ball game. But once again, though, what did we learn? It was a close football game. It was not a blowout in any way. So, it's something to remember. I mean, this Vandy team, for some reason, is keeping it close with Auburn, beating them in their bad years. So this is another reason why you can't look past this football game, no matter how bad this team is.
In that 2016 team, that was Derek Mason's third season, former Auburn defensive coordinator Derek Mason, also better known for just being best friends with Brian Harsin, Derek Mason. And that team ended up going 6-7. And for Vanderbilt, that's good. 6-7. I think, they made a bowl game. So I think Vandy fans take that. They played NC State, which is also, I think they played NC State versus with James Franklin. So I guess the bowl committee loves that rivalry, in quotes. Don't know. Strange. And the funny part is, though, 2 weeks before that Vanderbilt team, or 2 games before, should I say, that Vanderbilt team beats a Kirby Smart-led Georgia 17-16 in Athens. Is that a reason? I think that's like a slide on Gus Malzahn to say that Vanderbilt beat Georgia in Athens that year, and you couldn't beat Georgia that year in Athens. Auburn.
It's funny. It's funny because I asked you, I was like, well, what year did Georgia become Georgia? It's gotten to the point where it's like I've forgotten when Georgia became Georgia. So, that year they weren't what we know Georgia to be now. But it is a little bit embarrassing. Anytime Vandy beats someone that you haven't beaten in the sport of football, it is embarrassing. Where that program's at right now. That's definitely, I agree with you. It's something that looking at Gus, and I love Gus. First of all, I do love Gus, but I think all Auburn fans do. I think that's something everyone can agree on. I mean, anyone's like, oh, screw Gus.
I think Gus, I think Gus is the person. You can't. I definitely think there's some fair critiques at moments with Gus as the coach, and especially in recent years, Gus as the recruiter. And that's a professional criticism, but Gus was a good dude. He ran a very clean program with a high floor, so you can't take that away from him. But you know, maybe don't put Chandler Cox in at running back and or quarterback, and then also maybe recruit some offensive linemen the last 4 years of your tenure at Auburn, and maybe things look a little different. And make some better quarterback decisions. Maybe don't go after some mid quarterbacks and let guys like Lamar Jackson walk away. I don't know. Maybe professional criticism.
That hurts a little bit. I'd forgotten about that. I didn't need that today.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to go there. Sorry to the listeners who had to be reminded of that.
Oh man. But I think this Vandy team, I mean, I think the storyline here, talking about these few years about Vandy, 8, 12, and 16, even in the win, it was a tight football game. You ever just have a team, and it seems like there's always a team that just seems to give you fits for no reason. It feels like in basketball, you know who that is, I think, in Auburn basketball right now? You want to, let's see if we're on the same page. Who do you think I'm going to say? In the SEC.
Right now? Okay, so for a minute there, I think they shook this monkey off their back, but for a minute it was Ole Miss with Kermit before he left, and then they kind of ended him this past season. But I would have to say Texas A&M with old Buzz.
It's Texas A&M. Now, they're a good basketball. I'm not saying it's like they're a bad basketball team and they just kind of have our number. It's a good basketball team. But it's a team that has no business doing
what they're doing to Auburn consistently.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what I'm getting at here is just don't let Vandy, of all teams, become that team in football. You're like, well, I mean, we've played them this many times since 2000. We've lost this year and this year, and we barely beat them in 16, and we lost in 23. This can't become a conversation. You got to go take care of business in this football game. And this is a game they need to go cover in this football game. I think it's just – it's embarrassing, truly. I mean, I don't mean to take this to the big picture, but at the end of the day, losing to Vandy is a meme. I mean, genuinely, if you lose to Vandy, you are going to get made fun of. That stuff hurts recruiting. You cannot lose to Vandy. And frankly, I don't want it to be as close as it was in 16. A good, really good Auburn football team.
I'll one up you
on ranking.
Yeah, I'll one-up you here. I think you just don't even want to win close. I mean, I think this needs to be an ugly loss for Vanderbilt. It's like hard to say he's beating Vandy. That was a solid win. That's an expected win. I hate to say it. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And as we kind of discussed here, these are not the Vanderbilt teams of the past. This isn't 08-12. This is a Vanderbilt team that is not going to make a bowl game, unlike these other years that Auburn played them, to where they were 50% or above. So this is a different situation. Like half, maybe three quarters, maybe all, I don't know, of the, not just their stadium, but like seems like Nashville is just under construction. Seems like the crane, not the bird, but the actual piece of construction equipment is the state bird of the city. I don't know if that made any sense.
City bird of the city. But you're right. Remember media days? You couldn't even park.
Yeah, no, I mean, media days, it was a literal like maze of cones, boarded up, blocked off streets. And it was just like, whoever the SEC is like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find like the most construction heavy spot of Nashville. And that's where we're going to send thousands of media members over a week long period to do their thing. It was absolute chaos.
And then charge them $300 for parking.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Pay good money to park in our deck. So that was like, Nashville is awesome. I think it's a great central location for most of the SEC.
I love Nashville.
But the issue is just, when it was all under construction. So I'm not going to Nashville. I know you're going to the game. So more cranes, more construction. I'm sure it'll look great when it's done. But the Jumbotron being held up by a crane is absolutely hilarious. Before we get too far into this game, I want to get a little bit more into the past real fast to wrap this segment of the episode up. And before we wrap it up, I do want to thank the sponsor for today's show. Speaking of construction, speaking of cranes, what do you use with construction? Well, there's probably going to be a lot of sledgehammers. You know what's used a lot of sledgehammers? Opelika Rage Room, today's sponsor. Similar to the construction world, you're going to put on some PPE. You're going to go into an area that is blocked off with a lot of plywood. with some construction lights. You're going to have a whole bunch of stuff and you are going to break it. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is a rage room. It is a blast. OpelikaRageRoom.com, located on 2nd Avenue just outside downtown Opelika. You book online, whether it be by yourself or with some friends and family. You get a room full of breakables and you beat it to a pulp. Hopefully this game does not invoke Auburn fans to need the services of a rage room, but all the same, it is a blast. You book a session online. Their booking hours are from noon to 9:30 every day. Total fun. They also have a location in Birmingham as well, Birmingham Rage Room. Check those out if you were in either of those areas, and thank them for sponsoring this show. Now, last thing I did want to mention, the last time Auburn, because you mentioned the blowout and close games, in 2003, they did blow out Vandy. And I'll even give 02 in there, 34-7, 45-7, 31-6. I think those are the kind of scores people are leaning to. But in 2001, 24-21. So you don't want that. We want to get back to that blowout year. It has been over 15 years. Need to get back to a 20-plus win. I mean, even in 03, 45-7 Nashville, we would take that. That's what we need. That's what we want to get back to. But the crazy thing is, as I kind of mentioned, the series had been tied with a little bit of an asterisk there, because like I said, most of these wins were before the 50s and prior. And just due to the fact of conference realignment, they didn't even match it. But right now, Vanderbilt is in a losing series with pretty much every team in the SEC. This is the last one that they've got where they're at least tied. And so that's a monkey you want to get off the back. Brian Harsin blessed us with getting the Baton Rouge curse gone. And that was pretty much the only blessing he really gave to Auburn in his time. I think this is low-hanging fruit, but it is a bad stat, kind of an obscure stat, one that doesn't have much relevancy because, like I said, it is not predicated in modern football. But just on paper, Hugh Freeze now has pushed Auburn to having a winning series over Vanderbilt. And as you mentioned, they play him again. And was it a commanding lead, as you said earlier?
Yeah, two wins. If they win this year and next year, commanding lead in the series all time.
And I have a good feeling that if that continues and you start to play the East teams more, as the new, it seems to be, the SEC schedule changes will happen, that Vanderbilt will, this tie/close series will be something that will eventually go to the past for them. And then we can say we were alive and well when we witnessed history happen, when Auburn took back the Vanderbilt football series. So I want to talk a little bit more about the game tomorrow to conclude the episode here, because there's not a whole lot of different angles here. We've kind of been over the advanced stats, kind of where this Vandy team is, what is to be expected. What are your thoughts on how this game can go score wise? You'd already mentioned Swan potentially practicing again. Is there any other angle to this that you see that could potentially be interesting? I've said I think Auburn's taking care of business. What do you think they're going to end up doing tomorrow?
I think they take care of business. I mean, one thing I like to look at is look at, let's real quick, 5 seconds. I'm going to run through Vandy's year so far. You beat Hawaii. You beat Alabama A&M. You lose to Wake Forest. You lose to UNLV in a shootout. You lose to Kentucky, Missouri. Lose to Florida, lose to Georgia, lose to Ole Miss. So you start the year 2-0, and then it goes south quickly. People who bet the over on 3.5 wins felt real good early, and now it's not looking so hot. But point being, this is not a good football team. There's not a lot of talent on this team. I think that Clark Lee is a fine football coach, but I don't think it matters when you don't have the players to succeed. This is a game they have. Will Shepard is a really good wide receiver, good football player. Then you've got Swan. If he's out there, like I said, I'd put 4% on it. He's out there. That's my number. I don't think you're going to see him. And if we don't see him, Vandy's been talking about doing the whole Ashford Thorne 2 quarterback thing,
yep,
which isn't going to work out. We Auburn fans know that. So I think this is a game, to me, I'm not overlooking this game. So when I say this, that's not what I'm saying. But this is a game, I would call it a second get-right game after Mississippi State. Confidence builder. Confidence is a real thing, folks. We all know that. You go into this game Peyton Thorne throws for 315 and 4. Jarquez puts up a 145 and 2, and the defense holds them to 10 points. You have some confidence for the rest of the season. Is it Arkansas next week? Let me make sure I'm right about that. Arkansas next week, right?
Yep. And
Arkansas, and then New Mexico State, then the Iron Bowl. I just want that makes sense. I don't know. But point being, Arkansas is also not a good football team, but they're better than Vandy, and you got to go to their place. So this game to me, like I said, is a last, I call it a tune-up. It is a final tune-up after the losing streak to get yourself right before the Arkansas game. The Arkansas game's personally everything to me, because assuming you take care of business against Vandy, you're going to beat New Mexico State. Your worst case scenario is 7-5 heading into the Iron Bowl if you take care of business in the games that you're supposed to win. 7-5 in Hugh Freeze's first year, I'm not going to be upset about. You won the games you're supposed to. You didn't win the games you weren't supposed to, where there was a big talent gap. You're closing the talent gap every day with your recruiting. I believe in what Hugh Freeze is doing, where this program is heading. But I think you got to take care of business these next 2 weeks. And then it's the Iron Bowl. We never know what the hell is going to happen. You never know what's going to happen with the Iron Bowl. We need to be ready to go for it. So take this game, win by a lot. Win this game, 45-10. Look good doing it. Have the offense flow well. Defense keep doing what they're doing. And then take that confidence with you to Fayetteville and beat the crap out of the Hogs. I think that's what this game is to me. That is the storyline for me, is get yourself right before a game against a more talented team next week in Arkansas.
A defeated Arkansas who had to fire an offensive coordinator who is going to play Florida. And if that game looks – I've said this. I think if that game looks ugly for – I'm going to say it again. If that game looks ugly for Arkansas, I think that locker room is just going to about near give up. And there are going to be some real tough decisions that the big brass at Arkansas is going to have to make in regards to the future of Sam Pittman there.
Which I hate, because I love him.
He seems like a great guy, but it's just one of those deals where you can't, especially having a quarterback like Jefferson coming back, you can't fall backwards this hard. What's this? Is this his third year now? I believe.
I think he's been. Yeah. Around. I mean, it's three or.
Yeah,
four.
It's his third year, because it was 2020, 2020, 21, 22, or 2020. I believe was his first. 21. Yeah, so, or no, is that four now? Is this his fourth season?
I thought it was his fourth. I just had a feeling about it. Is it his fourth?
Let me. I'm
that was my suspicion.
Yeah, because his first year. Yeah, his first year was 2020. So yeah, this would be finishing up. He has had three full seasons prior to this. Okay. That's not the year you want to have things rewind backwards.
No.
So not good there. I mean, he obviously, we're gonna take 2020 out, but going 9-4, 7-6, and now he's sitting in November at 2-6. Not good, especially with having the quarterback situation he has as well. So that could be pretty disastrous for them. Hate to say it. That could be really good. I mean, I hate to say it. I said that kind of rhetorically. Love to see it. That could be really good for Auburn. So as we mentioned, that this you roll out of that game, take care of business in New Mexico State. You're 7-5 going to the Iron Bowl. At that point, you have overachieved, or in some cases, because I mean, I will say overachieved, because I think Vegas had the odds at 6.5 wins. So you've overachieved and realistically achieved for what most Auburn fans would have expected for the year. It went chalk. You overachieved if you factor in the momentum and direction recruiting has been and is continuing to go. That's a good year, because the whole point of this year was to actually build, keywords here, the right way to the future. Still got to go through Vanderbilt to take care of that. Now, one last question before we conclude this episode. Do you think Donovan Kaufman and Elijah McAllister take this game a little personally? Do we see them show out a little bit more coming back home?
Kaufman's going to have a great game. I believe Kaufman's going to have a great game. He's a really good player. When it comes to McAllister, I think so. If you polled Auburn fans and said, do you think has he overachieved expectations, underachieved, or met expectations? I think you could argue it's definitely either met or underachieved. I would lean toward met expectations because watching the tape, I mean, he was never, you know, he's a good football player. He's not a star. But if you could bet it, I would bet Elijah McAllister over 0.5 sacks in this football game. I think that he's going to get after the quarterback, Swan, whoever, whichever the other plethora of options it is. I think we'll see McAllister get after the quarterback in this game. And then I think we'll Kaufman will have a great game. And you know he'll be in the backfield.
He's
too.
All over the place, right?
Him getting the pick, him in the backfield. He's going to play well. But, no, it'll be good. Speaking of McAllister, he's just an incredible human being.
Great guy.
So it'll be a smart guy. I mean, genius, too. He's already got, like, 14 degrees. Awesome.
Man.
A true Auburn man. It'll be great to see him go home, you know, see some buddies, and hopefully have a good football team helping Auburn win a game they need to win.
From a personality standpoint, I apologize, my throat allergies today. Reminds me a lot of Dee Ford. Dee Ford was like this, when I say like the Renaissance man, like this incredible piano player that's just kind of very well soft-spoken, just a very kind of gave you this like, I think it's like a very weird phrasing here, but almost sounds like this glowing aura of like kind of intelligence, but like in an interesting way. Just seems like a guy who's like, the next thing this guy's about to say is going to blow my mind. And that's very much so a compliment to just how they both carry themselves. And I'm also saying that because they're both, like, when you're standing next to them, just giant human beings, just huge, towering presence. But also just very well spoken. And I'm going to assume this, that they're probably, I mean, Deeb was, but I'm also going to assume the same deal with Elijah McAllister, that they're both just really good locker room guys as well, and good leaders, and have a very good presence in that room. And I'm sure from a coach's standpoint or guys that, yeah, we take guys like this on our team when we can get them. So there's a reason that Hugh Freeze and staff sent him to SEC Media Days. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of speaks for itself, especially as an incoming transfer. So it'll be a homecoming of sorts for him. And you did say one last thing that I didn't want to kind of conclude with, but interesting storyline here is interesting potential of something I would like to see personally, something Auburn has not been very consistent with, and you didn't see it against Mississippi State, but I think it's going to be a very important thing turning the page moving forward. I know there had been some issues with this with some injury and some personnel swaps, but the pass rush. If that is something they can start to kind of get right with this game, that could be big time, because why did Auburn really stay in there in 2021 against Alabama? It's because they were all over Bryce Young getting those sacks and rushing him and hurrying him. So, shout out Derek Hall, because he was a machine that game.
He was great in that game.
Miss him.
He made himself a lot of money in that football game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So miss him there. If that is something that Auburn can start to establish here against Vanderbilt, and like I said, maybe you see it over the next few games, or it's like, oh, hey, we found this little pass rush the last few weeks coming to the Iron Bowl. That, I think, could make the biggest factor, because if they don't, and I will say this as we get closer to that week, but I don't think if they can get that pass rush established, that's going to be the biggest differentiating factor between Milroe being effective or just completely ineffective, is if they can just get in the backfield and just get in his head. So maybe this will be a day where we can see some of those guys step up and hopefully get a little bit of sacks, and they can try something on defense and obviously do it on the road. So that is all I have got for the episode. Andrew, would you like to tell everybody where they can check out what you're doing?
Yeah, read all our stuff at Auburn Daily. I get the day off. Me and my pops are heading down to the game in Nashville. We'll go get a beer after. And that's an open invitation. Anybody that wants to come, we'll figure it out. Hope to see a lot of the Auburn family out of this football game. But yeah, Auburn Daily, check out all of our stuff. We'll have everything covering the game for you. So appreciate all you readers. It really means a lot to us.
Yep. Andrew and staff are absolutely killing it at auburndaily.com, putting out some great stuff. If you don't already, check them out. If you don't already, follow the show, whether it be on YouTube, trying to hit to the 1,000 subscriber mark. We are less than 50 away. So if you do not already, please check us out. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Whether it's a like, follow, I don't even know what they're naming the button these days, wherever you get your pods, do that. 5-star review. If you like something, disagree with something, want to continue the conversation, leave a comment in the video. Shoot me or Andrew a DM, whatever it is. We love hearing from you guys. And once again, thank everybody for the love, support, and checking out this episode. We will be back again after the Auburn-Vanderbilt game to recap whatever's happening. We both hope we're talking about a blowout win from Auburn because, hey, that's what we're all here to see, right? And let's be real, this Vanderbilt team, hopefully, unlike recent years past, won't be keeping it close, and that is what's going to happen. I want to thank Andrew once again for joining, and thank everybody for listening. Have a good rest of your day.